play and do the monkey bars, play golf with her, and go on the zip line.
Learn to fly, and then this open fly.
So there's one where you have to hit your ball up something, and then it comes back down.
So sometimes she takes me to Caleb Playground, not the real Caleb, the not human Caleb, to Caleb's playground.
You have to hit your ball up the hill. It goes on one of the things, comes down the pipe, it rolls, comes off, and guess what? I almost made a hole in one.
Flowers.
Roses.
She's a makeup.
Hot Wheels, because she always takes away my Hot Wheels.
We made a project for Mother's Day, but all of us didn't really want to hide it, so we gave it to Mom early. She gives me a hug because she cuddles me.
Because she wears dresses. Mama gives me tickles.
I think it's the crepes.
I love you, Mom.
I love you, Mom. Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom. So, Joni, you know what you're getting now for Mother's Day. Hot Wheels, all right. Continuing on this morning with our series that we started just a few weeks ago on Heads Up. And throughout the series, we've been endeavoring to tackle what I believe to be some of the most challenging issues we face in living in today's world. Now, you might be interested to know that before I began this series, both in the writing and the scripting of it, I collaborated with our entire pastoral team. And in that staff meeting, I asked them to share with me the top concerns they heard and hear as they interact with people daily in prayer and ministry and counseling. And topping the list every single time was this issue of stress, feeling uptight, overwhelmed, and living on the edge of an emotional precipice without any safety margins. This morning, as we continue now in our series, we're going to investigate stress, its effects, and how do we manage it as men and women of God. I would encourage you to take your Bibles and open them up to Matthew chapter 11. It's going to take us a little while to get there, but eventually we're going to make our way to Matthew chapter 11. Dr. Richard Swenson, in his book Margin, he describes the society in which we are living today as a society that is troubled. He says, we have more questions than answers, more problems than solutions. He goes on to write, few know where they're headed, but universally acknowledge that they are careening along at breakneck speed. Bob Harrington, known by many of us as the chaplain of Bourbon Street, he described America this way. He said, America can be described as speed without direction, houses without homes, love without commitment. Look at that. It's pretty insightful when you think about it. Speed without direction, houses without homes, and love without commitment. Dr. Swenson, he goes on in his book on margins to warn that we're a generation living without reserves, that we're living as though we are not going to see another day, and so we live without margins and without reserves. He said that is true emotionally. We live on the edge. Physically, we push ourselves beyond, which is healthy. Financially, we spend, we give no thought about tomorrow. And then spiritually, we find ourselves empty and dry, having spent ourselves Yes, Dr. Swenson, he warns, he says, we're a generation living without any reserves emotionally, physically, financially, or spiritually. Crunched by time and without reserves, we rush through the day and into the night. There was a survey that was done against women, especially with mothers. And they discovered in this survey that 70% of the mothers in America describe themselves as living every day stressed out. Mommy guilt is a very real phenomenon. Many women experience guilt about their jobs, feeling that they should be home with their kids. And at the same time, others feel guilt while being a stay-at-home mother. They're not contributing, in their estimation, enough to the family's income. And it's called mommy guilt, and it's a very real phenomenon. Two drastically different scenarios, one staying at home, the other at the job, yet the same emotional response. And the emotional response is that of guilt and that of stress. In today's complex world, it is virtually impossible to avoid all stress. Everyone from the youngest child to the oldest adult is experiencing stress to some degree. Many find it increasingly difficult to survive, let alone thrive, in the world in which we find ourselves living this morning. In desperation, people are seeking relief for their problems through any remedy that they can find. Our culture is inundated with self-help books, with seminars, yoga and meditation classes, massage therapy centers, counseling centers, supplements, athletic clubs, and physical training, all for the purpose in all of these categories, though they're very different, in all of these for one purpose, and that is the alleviation of the effects of stress on body, on soul, and upon one's mind and heart. It has been estimated that 2/3 of all visits to the doctor's office are directly related somehow to stress-related problems in life. You see, stress propels our bodies into what is called high gear. Our heart, when we are sensing stress, begins to speed up. Blood flow to the brain and muscles increases some 400%. Digestion, on the other side, begins to slow down and even stop so that it's not using up energy that is needed elsewhere in the body to somehow cope with stress. Muscle tension increases. Breathing is accelerated to bring more oxygen to a body now that is in high gear. It's in times of stress that our body goes into what is called the fight or flight mode. The fight or flight mode is the body's response to a perceived threat or danger. In this sense, we would say distress. During this reaction, we've all experienced it, hormones like adrenaline, and we all know that phrase, adrenaline rush. Adrenaline and cortisol are released, making it possible either to have the strength to take on the real and present danger, or to have the energy to flee, to run from it. Now, psychologists tell us something that's very interesting. They say there is no universal definition of a stressor. Now, let me run that by one more time. They tell us that there is no universal definition of a stressor. What stresses one, someone else might find to be great joy. For example, I enjoy a good roller coaster. However, my wife, Sherry, thinks that's very much stress. I remember we were down in Missouri, and we went to a theme park. And in this theme park, I was trying to convince her to go on the roller coaster. And it looked like a train, and so I convinced her, you know, how fast can a train go? And trains certainly don't go loopy-loop and all of this. And so she looked at it, and she said, okay, I'll go with you. And we got on, and so now we're going up that great incline, ch-ching, 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 you know the sound, as it goes up. And she said, this isn't bad at all. And then the first car, we were in the first car, And she's looking straight down. From there on, it was just one loud scream until it was over. Now, what was stress to her was kind of fun for me. Now, if you put this on the other hand, I was talking to the pastoral staff about this the other day. If you put me on a bridge, tie a bungee cord to my leg, and then throw me off, that would be stress. And Pastor Steve says, give it to me now. We'll work something out. One physician, putting it in the, you know, in the realm of medicine, one physician strives and thrives in the emergency room environment, while another finds it way too stressful and prefers to work in the clinic. So there is no universal definition of stress. Stress is whatever we make life to be. Now, we need to get this deep inside of our hearts this morning, because anything and everything can become stressful if we allow it to become that. Let me talk to you about some of those areas. You know, wedding preparations. You know, I see couples that get along so wonderfully, and they're looking so much forward to their wedding. And then all of a sudden, this guy discovers he's marrying a bridezilla. And there's this transformation that's happened. And it's all stress, and out of the stress, and now there's arguments and even, you know, fights. And at times, you know, should we even go through with this? Planning a special birthday party can either be fun or stressful. Packing for a vacation. You're excited about the vacation. You're all heading down to Disney, or you're headed off somewhere else, and you're going to enjoy a wonderful family time. But now it's packing time, and the packing time becomes stressful. That deadline at the job, it's stressful. Christmas is coming, and you're thinking about all the wonderful parts of Christmas and how fun it's going to be to gather together as friends and family. And now you begin to think about the gifts and the wrapping of the gifts and purchasing, and where are you going to find time to get everything squeezed in, and it becomes stressful. Buying a house, looking forward to having a place of your own. But now there's, you know, two ways to look at every single home. It's his way and hers way. And buying a house can become very stressful. More to do than you'll ever have time to get it done is stressful. More month than money. Calendar and schedule that is booked so tight. All of these things can become, if we allow them, even though at the end of the journey, there's something wonderful and fun there. There's a home, there's a vacation, there's all of the things of celebration of Christmas and the like. But if we're not careful, any one of these things, which can become joyful to one, becomes stressful to another. So what they've discovered is there is no such thing as a universal stressor. So what is stressful to one may be enjoyable to the other, and what is enjoyable to one may be a stress to the other. Stress is often the byproduct of change. It's a change that we have no control over, and it becomes stressful. You know, whether we like to admit it or not, most of us are control freaks. As long as we are in control, no problem. But as soon as we discover that we're not really in control at that moment, and then all of a sudden, that which could be seen as something, you know, non-stressful becomes stressful. You know, many times when we're doing long-distance driving across the country, you know, I'll become very weary and tired, and so Sherry will say, I'll drive. And so I'll get into the back seat, and I'll lay down, and all of a sudden, I begin thinking, this is more stress than it is if I were just to stay awake and drive. Now, she's a wonderful driver. There's no doubt about that. But the control freak begins to rise up and begins to play all the different scenarios. Why are we driving so fast? Why are we changing lanes? Why, you know, And all of a sudden, that which should be relaxing, getting a little nap in the back seat, is no longer. Much of the stress we feel then in life comes from our insistence of maintaining control. But you know what I've come to realize, and I'm sure that you have as well, that out of all the things in life, there's not much that we really have any control over. We really cannot control our mates. As much as we'd like to, we can't control our children. At least they will rise up at a point and they will be old enough, they'll go on their own. We can't control that. We can't control our employers, our coworkers, our neighbors next door. We cannot control other drivers on the freeway. We certainly cannot control the weather, the stock market, or ourselves, for that matter, apart from the help of the Holy Spirit. We simply live our lives knowing that things are out of control, but even in the midst of acknowledging that, there's something inside of us that says, I really want to take this thing and I want to control it. Now, finally, we've come to our text this morning. Our text there in Matthew chapter 11, starting with verse 28, very familiar words of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to put them into the context now of stress. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, in the full context of what Jesus is referring to here, he was looking at the Pharisees and how the Pharisees, they took simple rules of the Old Testament and they kept on multiplying them over. And so they came up with over 600 different laws, just multiplying them over and over and over and over. 365 of them, which were to be a rule for every day, and it controlled every aspect of life, even to the starting of a fire so you could cook a meal, and what you could do on the Sabbath day, and all of this. And Jesus, looking at all of this, he says, you have placed burdens on people that are so heavy, they cannot bear them. You have made what was meant to be a life of joy, you have turned it into a stressful thing. Am I breaking a law? Am I violating, you know, the Sabbath day journey? What am I doing with my life? And Jesus said, you love to place heavy loads upon others, but you will not so much as even lift a finger to help someone else in their time of need. And so Jesus gives this invitation. And the invitation starts in verse 28. Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want you to consider, first of all, there, what an invitation. The invitation is to come. When I see this, you know, in the English where it says come, it does not have the same impact to it as it would have if you were to read that in the original language of the Greek. For in the Greek, it is in what is called the imperative form. Jesus is not making a suggestion here. He is making a command, an imperative. Come to me. Friends, I am so glad that we are living in the dispensation where Jesus is still saying, come to me. And if we refuse to come, and we refuse to come to salvation, and we refuse to come to him and live by his standards, there's a day that he will say, go. But now is the time in which he is saying, come. And that tug of the Holy Spirit is a wonderful tug, one that should always be responded to. So what an invitation. The invitation is to come, and it is more than just an invitation. It's an imperative. He is saying, come. And we would know by the very inflection at that moment that Jesus was saying to people that were weary, people that were stressed out, people that were trying as control freaks to take care of their own lives and live it their own way, Jesus was saying to them, why do you walk around like camels that have one more straw is going to break your back when the invitation is to come? So what an invitation. The invitation is to come. And then when you consider by whom, that invitation comes from none other than the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that is your creator, your redeemer, and your friend. Notice who is invited here. That word is all. Everyone is invited. Notice how Jesus said there, "Come to me, all you that are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." And so the invitation is for all. It's for everyone. All who are weary. When you look around today and see so many that are weary, they're weary in body, they're weary in mind. They have wore themselves to a frazzle. They are stressed to the max. There is no margins on their life. They financially, they have spent to the very last cent before they go over the edge into, you know, into no man's land, wondering where they'll ever pay their rent for their car or put groceries on the table. We live at the margins all the time. When I say living at the margins, here's the picture I'd like for you to have in mind. Here's the edge of the platform, and the platform is about 3.5 feet, I would imagine, maybe 4 feet high. Well, let's just say now that this is not just this platform, but let's say that we're out at the Grand Canyon. And those of you that have been to the Grand Canyon, you know what I'm talking about. You talk about a crevasse. You talk about something. It's over a mile deep. It's an amazing place to visit. But all along, you'll find wherever the cars will stop, they have some guardrails and the like there. But there are so many places that you could stop along that journey of the Grand Canyon where there are no guardrails. And sometimes I'll look over there and I will see individuals and even my grandkids going, and they're standing right on the edge. And I will say, let's back away a little bit. Come over here to Grandpa where the chickens hang out. And we'll just give a little space between us, because if for some reason, maybe, you know, a part of the cliff breaks away, I mean, there's a whole bunch of scenarios that could and over time have happened. But why do you want to stand on the very edge, even with your toes hanging over? And so that is what stresses out people today. They've used up all of the freedom. They've gone right to the very end. And there they are, their toes hanging over the edge, emotionally, spiritually, financially, in all of these ways. And Jesus, he says to them, I want you to take, come to me, come, you that are weary, those of you that are burdened, and I promise I will give you rest. That promise of rest is such a wonderful one. He promises that he is going to refresh you. And if you feel weary today and you feel like you've given your best, and some of you moms in this place today, and those of you that have joined us online, I'm amazed at you ladies. I truly am. I'm amazed. I watch you as you pull into the parking lot here, and you've got one child in hand. You've got another one that you're carrying, you know, in a car seat. And you got a diaper bag over your back. I was sitting in a restaurant one day, and I was watching this lady. And this wonderful mom, she was breastfeeding one child. She was feeding the other with a spoon. And then in between all this, trying to get a little bit of something for herself. Now, the point is that we fill our lives. And lives for these women are so, so filled and so busy. Jesus is standing there saying, come and I will give you rest. Look at the rest of that verse. Take my yoke upon you. A yoke is responsible. In this particular sense, is one that he's saying, you know, the Pharisees have tried to put a yoke upon you of all these rules, all these regulations, and you're always feeling like you don't measure up. And you're always feeling the stress of the day. He said, I want you to take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. Learn from the way that I live my life. Jesus knew, as I mentioned last Sunday, he knew when to get away from the crowd. He knew when he needed some rest. There were times when you'll find Jesus so weary. Even that day that he was in the back of the boat, the storm came up, and Jesus is so shot from a day of ministry, and not only a day of ministry, but a whole, you know, series of days of ministry, that he's sleeping in the back of the boat. The water is coming in, and the boat's almost ready to sink, and the disciples go back and wake him up and say, Jesus, don't you care that we should drown or to perish? You may feel that way at times, that you just need a little bit of rest, and I would encourage you to get that. We're going to talk about some very practical things. But he says, you will find rest for your souls. And that word soul there literally means for your mind. You know, you can be physically strong, but in your mind, you know, you're worn to a frazzle. Jesus went on to say, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. You know, most stress in life, and I know that this may slap you in the face, and so take it for what it's worth. Most stress and most anxiety, if you were to boil it down to one simple thing, it's generally a lack of trust in God. It says in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, cast all of your anxiety on him, all of your worries, all of your plans, all the things that would cause, whether it's Christmas or whether it's a job, whether it's getting your kids ready for school, all of these things, whether you're going to face the uncertainty of a new future and a new position, all of that, cast your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Friend, I am so glad to know that we serve a Heavenly Father that cares for us. And Mom, I want you to know he cares for you. And all the busyness of life, and sometimes you feel like you should have more than two hands, and you know, you've got so much going on, and again, you amaze me at the way you deal with so much with such grace. I think of my mother with 11 children. They would ask my mom, because you know, the Catholic Church kind of taught ladies that if you have 12 children, you have kind of a don't stop at, you know, jail, don't, you know, go directly to heaven kind of thing. And so Roman Catholic moms and dads would ask my mother, you know, with 11 children, Catholic? And she would say, no, careless. Cast all of your anxiety on him because he cares for you. You see, friends, life was never intended to be an independent venture. It was meant to be a partnership. It was meant to be a partnership first and foremost with God. And then it's meant to be a partnership, husband and wife, together as a team, working together on the greatest thing you will ever accomplish ever in your lives as a husband and wife. And that's to see your children grow up, to love God, to make a difference in this world. Let me talk to you quickly now about some practical steps to managing stress. First and foremost, number one, let me encourage you to walk in close relationship with Jesus Christ. He is the burden bearer. He is the one that will give you wisdom. He'll give you guidance and direction in your life. Let me encourage you to pray about the things that are stressing you. You know, Jesus said, you have not because you ask not. What is it that you are stressed about right now? Not only the ladies in the house on this Mother's Day, but guys as well. What is it that's stressing you out? You know, sometimes we miscalculate, and we think that complaining is the same as praying. And that if we complain about something long enough, God will catch on, and that you need to understand, God does not respond to complaining. He responds to prayer. Pray about the things that are stressing you out. He wants to hear from you, whatever that is. It may be some really fun days and fun things, and you're saying, why is something that should be so much fun becoming so stressful? Pray about the things that are stressing you out. And maybe it's the things of health or the things of a wayward son or daughter this morning. Pray about the things that are stressing you out. Let me encourage you to keep the Sabbath day's rest. You know, the Sabbath was given to us as a gift. God understood that if we did not, as he did, take a day where we set aside just to reflect, a time to refresh, a time to be restored, that we'd wear out body, soul, and spirit prematurely. Mom, I realize that even on the Lord's Day and all of this other, there's a lot to be done. But let me encourage you. Set some margins. Set some margins in your schedule. And as you set those margins in your schedule, make sure you keep a Sabbath time for yourself. Let me encourage you to keep the main thing, the main thing. There's a lot of things that will try to draw you into, you know, using up your time, your energy, your finances, everything else. Let me encourage you, keep the main thing, the main thing. Now, this is much easier said than done, especially for young moms with young children, but get a good night's rest. You know, when you sleep well in the morning, get a brand new view of life. What seemed to be so dark and so foreboding and, you know, so difficult, a good night's rest can give you a brand new perspective when you get up in the morning. Let me encourage you to treat your body well. Let me encourage you to take time to relax. Have a realistic expectation of yourself and of others. Let me encourage you to practice good mental hygiene. What I mean by that is Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. The Bible says, here's some things that ought to captivate your thoughts. That which is true, that which is honest, that which is just, that which is lovely, that which is praiseworthy. The Apostle Paul says, if you're going to use up your energy thinking about things, you know, keep yourself on that list of that which is good, good mental hygiene. Let me encourage you to build good supportive relationships. You know, I love watching on Tuesdays as our ladies will get together here and in tow many times their little ones with them that are not yet in school. And to watch them, how they make their way to their cars afterwards. You know, they're talking along the way and you see them stop many times by one of the vehicles before they get in to go separate directions. Wonderful, supportive friendships. Let me ask you today, what kind of relationships are you building, or are you trying to do it on your own? And if you want to have good friendships, a place to start is to be a good friend. That goes to all of us, regardless of gender today. Build supportive, good friendships. If you want to be a good friend, you will have good friends. But if you're only expecting others to come to you during your time of need, and that's kind of my last point, and that is to ask for help. You know, there's sometimes we have to just simply say, I need help. I can't do this on my own. I need help. Let me encourage you, Mom. What you are doing is shaping not only today, but you're shaping tomorrow. You're not raising children. Mom and Dad, we're raising adults. I want you to think about that for a moment. We're not raising children, we're raising adults. We're raising the generation that's going to rise up and take their place in our schools, in government, in business, in every realm of life. And if we're only thinking about raising a child, then we're missing the big picture. The big picture is we raise children because we're raising adults that will have an impact and able to make a difference in the world in which we live. I'm so glad that you're in the house today, Mom. We want you to know that Discover Church loves you. We respect you. We respect what you do. And we applaud you today. Let's do that right now. Will you bow your heads for just a moment? Father, this morning, I believe that you are knocking at hearts' doors. There's not a mom in the house today that has anything higher on their minds than their sons and their daughters to serve God. Lord, I pray today for those that may have never made that decision, Lord, that in this moment they would say, I know what's going to keep the family unit together for eternity, but it also makes such a huge difference right now, right here. When a family serves God together, there's a camaraderie, there's a joy, there's a holy expectation that can only be experienced through that kind of a relationship of knowing God and sharing in that relationship one with another. Lord, I pray for those in the house today that are saying, you know, I need to get right with God. I can read the signs of the times, and I can see that the signs of the times are all pointing to the soon return of Christ. And most all of you have heard about that. You know that Jesus is coming back, and he's returning for those that have made him the Lord of their life. The others will remain behind and go into the most horrible time this planet has ever known as the Great Tribulation. Lord, I pray today that every thinking person, everyone that really values their life and values their future, would pause and say, I need to make sure out of all the things I do in life that I make my reservation for heaven the most sure thing. With heads bowed and eyes closed, in a moment of honesty, how many would say, Pastor, as you conclude your prayer, I want to make things right with God today. I want to give my heart to him. I'm here honoring mom today, but I want to honor my Heavenly Father, the one that created me, the one that loves me, the one that sent his son Jesus to take my place on the cross of Calvary, to die in my place. Pastor, will you pray for me today? I want to get right with God. Just by raising a hand right now all over this room, you're simply by raising your hand, you're saying, yes, that includes me. God bless you. God bless you, friend, right down here. How many others? God bless you in the back over here. How many others today? God bless you, ma'am, right down here. God bless you, sir, over here. God bless you, ma'am, back there. How many others today? Balcony, galleries. Would say, Pastor, will you help me connect with God? In these next few moments, what I want you to do, you may put your hands down. I want you to make this your prayer from your own heart. I want you to whisper it right where you're at. Say, Father in heaven, thank you for loving me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you for loving me so much that you would send your son. Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you came on a mission to seek and to save the lost. You came so that we could do life not only here on this earth together, but eternity together. Lord Jesus, I've made a mess of things trying to control my own life, which in reality, I've not even been able to even control my own life. I've come to realize that you're the only one that can really help me to understand myself and control my life. I ask you, forgive me. I have sinned. I have fallen short. I have gone my own way. And I ask you to forgive me. I turn from my old ways. I'm not just saying sorry and then going back and doing the same things again. With your help, Lord, I'm going to live by a brand new standard. I'm going to live like what I am, a child of God. And I thank you, Lord, for the strength to be an overcomer from this day forward. And I confess with my mouth the very important point. With your mouth, say, Jesus, you are my Lord. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you were crucified. I believe that on the third day you rose again. And I believe that you are coming one day soon. This I believe. Thank you, Lord, for hearing me. Thank you for this moment. Now, every mom in the house today, we'd love to honor you and pray for you. Every mom, if you're a visiting guest mom today, I want you to know there's no such thing as a stranger in the house of the Lord. Every mom, we love to pray for you today. We have a gift for you. If you just rise up from where you're at there, come down and face out towards your family. We want to pray for you. We want to give you a gift this morning. We want to bless you in the Lord's name this day.